Well, 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 good evening. Welcome. It is Nightside. Is that what they're calling it? Yes, Nightside on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan in tonight until 1 o'clock. Big game for the White Sox. Congratulations beating the Indians. Yeah, the season's over, but that's all right. Listen, we're always happy when the White Sox win. Big show tonight. In just a minute, David Hochberg will join us from Homeside Financial. You know, David, you hear him all over. Do you have a mortgage question? Are you having trouble making your ends meet? Have you blown your credit to a point where you think that absolutely nothing can save you? Well, guess what? David is here, and he could probably save you. So 312-981-7200. That is how you get a hold of us. You can call. That is also the text number. I don't know how the technology works, but trust me, if you text to that number, we will get your text as well. Michael Heidemann will be answering the phone. He is the executive producer of the big broadcast. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. After midnight, we'll talk a little Broadway. Yes, the director and one of the stars of Oslo, which is playing now at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. They will be joining me. So we'll talk a little theater after we talk a little money. With that said, let me welcome in David Hochberg. Hello, David.
What's up, Brian? Great intro.
Thank you. Listen, I like to come out hot. That's how we do
good
it.
Good stuff, buddy.
Thank you. David is the VP of lending. You know that at Homeside Financial. You can get a hold of him, dhochberg.gohomeside.com.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
No.
All right.
But,
it's not?
David at 56david.com is easier.
All right.
It probably is, but there's but nobody knows how to spell Hochberg, and I got that's a better right. shot at
David at 56david.com.
That's a lot easier.
That's easier to spell. I like that.
We'll blame Michael for that.
I took it right off your email.
I know.
I'll blame you.
I blame
nobody. I blame myself for not double checking with you beforehand.
That's a lot easier, David at 56david.
All right. Let me ask you this, because I just saw this article came out in Cranes today that the home prices in Chicago are still way under what they were before the bubble burst, and that other cities have rebounded a lot. What's keeping this area from rebounding?
Real estate taxes. And the inability of this market to write off real estate taxes above, I believe, $10,000, whatever the threshold is, because we're a blue state.
Right.
And, you know, the real estate, the states with high real estate taxes are typically blue states, and they got hammered with the new law. So it's just what it is. It's just, you know, the folks that are owning homes, and it's not only that, it's people that rent homes.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you're renting, you're renting it from somebody that owns a home.
Who owns it.
Okay.
They're getting
drilled locally by our local real estate taxes.
Yeah.
I was just having lunch with somebody today. He's out in Kane County, lives in a $300,000 home. He's paying $12,000 a year in property tax. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So when you start, and he owns a home out in Boston, and he's got a home that his family handed to him and all that stuff, you know, handed down. He inherited. It's like worth $1 million.
Not bad.
And he's paying $7,000 a year in property tax on $1 million home out in Boston. Okay, so he's paying more on a $300,000 home real
That's
estate tax
ridiculous.
In King County than he is on an inherited home in Boston. So, you know, it is what it is, right?
Right.
I'm not going to dive too deep into politics because it's not going to matter. But, you know.
Because it changes every
day. It changes every day. And, you know, the challenge is Illinois used to be a great state to once live. And unfortunately, we're turning into a state where at the end of every year, there's the moving truck survey. I think Beacon does it.
We always are one of the tops.
We're always, unfortunately now, the moving truck industry does a survey where what are the top states where people are leaving and they're not moving back.
Yeah.
You know, so they're basically there's no backhaul into Illinois.
Right. We're not drawing new people
in.
We don't have we don't have the tech hubs, we don't have the industry. We've got the high taxes, as you're saying.
And the challenges are this. I was talking to a lady called in to a show I was on. She inherited a home from her folks in Rockford.
Okay.
Okay. Challenge is the home was only worth today $30,000 in Rockford.
Hmm.
When her parents bought the home and lived there, there was industry in Rockford.
Sure.
You were making things in Rockford,
right?
The Belvedere Chrysler plant, the old AMC plant, now the Chrysler plant, was running three shifts, and there were a ton of people up in Belvedere working around the clock.
Yeah.
And when you have that plant humming, and it's cranking out cars, and you're doing stuff, three shifts, People and women are working.
And they're spending money.
And they're investing back in their community. Now you've got this lady that took over her parents' home that used to be worth $100 and a half is now worth $30,000 to $40,000. So what I don't understand, and again, I got a 36 on my ACT. I took it twice, and that was the combined total, you know, by taking it twice. You know, I'm an 18 guy. I'm a solid C student.
There you go.
But I see things out there. I see brownfields. I see industry leaving. I don't understand what. And then I look at Wisconsin, and then I look at Indiana, and I look at the revival that Michigan did.
Yeah.
And I look what's going on in Iowa. Iowa's booming.
Right.
Why can't we do something down in Springfield to, like, incentivize businesses to come in? I believe Cook County is 28% brownfields, which are old factories that are just vacant and don't do anything. Why don't we incentivize just big businesses to come in and do something with that land?
Well, because nothing gets done down there.
I fully understand.
So we're not worried about the big picture. The people down there are worried about their own little their own little place
but
and their own pockets.
But you have to look at the land of Lincoln. We've got a beautiful state right in the middle. You know, we're still a transportation hub. You look out of this beautiful studio, you're in downtown Chicago, one of the greatest cities around.
Right.
And we don't do anything in this state to promote the state, to bring back jobs so people could work.
Sure, they
could. That's all people want to do. Right. We've got hardworking people here in Illinois. People just want to work. And the challenge is that the real estate taxes are so high, which is capping the recovery.
Right.
And, you know, of the home values. And other states around us have seen their values come back in force. The area has come back.
Yeah, there's some neighborhoods and towns that do really well, right?
Right. But in a whole, we're not seeing the growth that other states are seeing. And I've talked about this on the show all the time. We're licensed in Arizona. We're licensed in Florida. We're licensed in, I say Florida because I was born in New York, and that's how we say Florida.
Florida.
Nashville.
Okay.
Buddy of mine, $300,000 home, okay, in Nashville.
Yeah.
He's paying $2,500 a year in real estate taxes. Brand new.
That's
new
construction.
No,
it's great. It's great.
That's Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Right.
Compare Katrice. He's out in Lake Zurich right now. He's paying $15,000 a year in Lake Zurich, in a $325,000 home, 15 grand in real estate taxes, okay? Yeah. Buys a brand new flipping house, new construction, okay? Paint still drying, $2,500 a year, huge backyard, beautiful new construction. That's what they have to get their arms around things down in Springfield. And that's why I just talked to my state rep, John Carroll.
Okay.
I said, Johnny, what the hell's going on here? It's got my real estate tax bill. I just paid it. I'm paying $3,500 for these Glenbrook North school system, which are phenomenal school systems.
Sure.
Right? I'm not knocking the school system. And I'm paying $5,300 for District 27. So I'm paying it added to be like $9,000. Then I'm paying $600 and some to Oakton Community College. I'm like, why am I paying Oakton Community College?
You are a one-man education subsidy.
I don't understand what's going on. Right? I mean, and the problem is nobody's looking at their tax bill.
Right. They just look at the number and go, oh,
no. And they moan and they bitch about it.
Right.
Okay.
And then they pay it. And
they pay it and they move on.
Right.
And I was talking to Amy Kite, right?
Yes. You know,
big realtor, good friend of mine. She 8 counties. She's one of the best realtors around.
Yeah, I hear, see her commercials all the time.
She's phenomenal. And she does a tremendous job. And, she, you know, great partners with us. And she's like, I wish my real estate taxes were $13,000 because she's in Lake County.
Okay.
And she pays substantially more. She's got the same size house. And that's the inequities that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, because you think, our listeners out there, that $100,000 is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of money in this market. Okay?
Right.
In
if you're buying a home?
Sure.
$100,000 isn't going to get you anything.
No, I'm talking yearly income for a house.
Okay. Right.
You know, dual income making 50 grand a piece.
Yeah.
$100,000. You're not getting anywhere in the Chicagoland area.
Right.
Maybe in Davenport, maybe in Des Moines and other areas, right? Maybe in Bloomingdale, you know, Bloomington, Illinois, you know, outside of Chicago goes a little further. In Chicago, $100,000 doesn't go that far.
Right.
And what you're doing is, and everybody's like, well, how could they continue to do that? And, you know, they got their kids and travel this, and they got their kids and dance, and they got their kids and travel hockey and travel across.
Yeah.
And they're like, how can they do it? And they got a new car. They're like, how can they do it? I'm like, they can't. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right. And all of a sudden, they get the credit card bills and everything else. And you're like, uh-oh, I got no money.
Here's a challenge.
Yeah.
The Joneses are broke. Okay? You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And nothing against, like, if your last name is Jones. I don't need the emails. You know, at david@56david.com. I'm just saying, the Joneses that you're trying to keep up with can't afford their credit card payments. And they're putting on a facade. And they're broke, too.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge that we're facing. We're helping a lot of people use the equity in their home. And some people fire on me for doing that. But guess what? That's the cheapest money they've got in order to put their life, you know, the financial fire out.
Well, let's explain how we can do that.
Yeah.
David Hochberg is here. He is the VP of Lending at Homeside Financial. You can get a hold of David here at 312-981-7200 or david@56david.com. We'll take your calls. We've got some texts. We will talk about this, I'm guessing now, from what you said, very controversial stance of using your equity to pay down
your debt.
Some
people are completely against, and I'm just like, if you got a fire in your house and you got a fire plug at the corner, you know, run over the fire, we'll get the hell out of the way so the firefighters can come in, tie into the fire hose, right? And then you put the fire out. That's all I'm recommending.
All right, more with David on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Ryan Noonan, 720 WGN. You can always count on Michael Heideman to bring the funky beats for the bump music. Thank you, Mike. David Hochberg is here. Do you have a mortgage question? Are you knee-deep, waist-deep, neck-deep in debt, and you're wondering how you can get out of it? What can you do? Well, David is here, 312-981-7200. You can call us, you can text us, or you can reach David at david@56david.com. All right, right before we went to break, you were spouting your very controversial take, according to some, not to me, but people buy a house and they stay in those houses and they build up equity.
Sure.
And most of the time, conventional wisdom would be, I'm saving that up so that when I finally own this house, I've got all this equity, and then who knows what I can do with it.
Then you die.
Then you die.
Right.
And all that equity goes to somebody else.
Right.
All
Which is genius.
That's a good plan.
Fantastic.
It sounds like the kind of financial planning that you know, I would endorse.
Yes.
But you do not endorse that kind of financial planning.
It's got to do with the monthly payment.
Right.
And I'll give you a perfect example of a 75-year-old individual out in central Illinois. Long story short, we're consolidating all his debt. He needs to replace some sidewalks. He needs to put a new roof on.
Okay.
He has about $35,000 worth of debt. He's retired. He's listening right now. He's driving a bus now.
Okay.
Turn a little extra cash. Long story short, we're going to pull out about $45,000 out of his home equity. Okay. Appraisal came in today at $400,000. He thought his house was worth $365,000.
So he's happy?
He's very happy. I said, is the bus pulled over? Because I don't want you to tip the bus over. So he's like, what's up? And I said, appraisal just came in at $400,000. And he's like, well, you know what? I'd love to take out another $10,000 because I want to do something else in the backyard to make my house more comfortable for my wife and I, who's also in her 70s,
okay,
to enjoy the house.
Yeah.
Okay? So long story short, we're pulling out $40,000 out of his home. We're paying off all his credit cards, paying off his car loan, paying off his credit cards. He's taking enough money out to do something in the back, I think, with the deck. He's replacing his roof. He needs $25,000 for the roof. And we're saving him over $700 a month.
And he's still got equity in his house.
He's got a ton of equity in his house. We're doing a 276. It was 266.5.
Right.
You know, I said, hey, we got this. I'm like, where do you want to end up? He's like, I want 25 G's to do the work that I need.
Okay.
Okay. After I pay off all the debt. I'm like, okay, long story short, bounce it up another $10,000.
Yeah.
Because we have the equity. It doesn't impact the rate. This is a 75-year-old individual.
Yeah.
Educated man.
Right.
Who's driving a bus. There's nothing wrong with driving a bus.
Sure.
In order to earn extra money.
When he had money, his house was his money.
His house was his money. He's still going to drive the bus because he enjoys being around kids.
Yeah, want to get out of the house.
He wants to get out of the house. You know, his wife's still working.
So he gets that deck done, then he's not going to want to leave the house.
Well, right. Then he's going to be on the back porch. But, you know, 75 years old, he's driving a bus. He's schlepping the high school kids around to different events. Where he's living large. We're saving him $700-$800 a month.
Jeez.
Okay? Where's he going to pull that from?
Yeah.
Except the equity in his home.
Right.
Okay, so he does want to touch his retirement account because he's taking the minimum required minimum distribution. So he wants to extend that out as far as possible. So he puts on a new roof on his house. He's got a new deck. All his credit cards are done. He's saving $700-$800 a month. Some people have a problem with that, and I'm just like,
what is their problem with that?
You should never touch the equity in your home. That's gold. Okay, and I'm like, okay. And I use the Baskin Robbins analogy.
Right,
Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors because there's a different flavor of ice cream that you could try every single day of the month.
Sure,
okay. That you know, I didn't know that until I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And now I use it as an analogy. Some people like nuts in their ice cream. Some people like cherries in their ice cream. Right, you know,
yeah.
Whatever you want. Some people like cookies and cream. I don't care what you like in your ice cream. Here's a 75-year-old couple,
right,
that wants to do work on their home. You know, alleviate their stress with their credit card debt, that they don't have an extra $40,000 laying around to pay off their credit card debt, do the roof, and now do the deck. Now they've got the money.
Right, so the house is done, they're debt-free, and they still have equity in their
house. They got a ton of equity. Yeah. They've got $120,000 worth of equity in their home, and they're saving $700-$800 a month. Now, if you know, people in that situation could be like, hey, I'm going to take an extra $5,000 and pay the loan down. The guy's 75 years old. He's like, what do I care if I pay off the...
Maybe 20 years left, 25 years left. Tops.
Totally. He's like, what the heck? I'm not going to be alive when this thing is paid off. And that's his words to me. I'm like, exactly. Enjoy life.
All right. We got some people waiting to talk to you.
Bring
We've got
up.
Some texts coming in. We're going to take a quick break, do the news, and then, Paul, hang on. We'll get to you more with David Hochberg answering your mortgage questions and your debt questions. How are you going to get out of debt? David at 56David.com. The news after this, WGN. Oh, you know what that smell is? That's your credit card debt mounting up and rotting in your backyard. I don't think that's what Skinner wrote the song about, but that's how I come back in. David Hochberg is in the studio with me. He's the VP of Lending at Homeside Financial. You hear David all over the station. You're going to be on with Steve Cochran tomorrow morning. Is that right?
9:15.
So you're just staying here. You're going to work a little maintenance.
Sure.
What are you going to do?
Yeah,
I'm going to be answering mortgage questions all night.
Yeah, I got a bucket and a mop outside. I'm going to.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going
to. It's good to listen. The hustle never stops.
Keeps
David.
You young, buddy.
That's what. Exactly. If you want to get a hold of David, 312-981-7200, you can always email him, david@56david.com. Paul has been hanging on, so let's have Paul talk to David. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, David. Nice talking to you, and I hear your advertisements all the time. So here's the question. Going through some financial troubles, going to file bankruptcy probably in the next 6 months or so.
Okay.
How quickly does it take for your credit to rebound? On the backside of a bankruptcy, what kind of down payment do you need with a strong income to recover to get back into a mortgage?
That's a great question. Are you doing a Chapter 7 complete blowout, or are you doing a 13?
Chapter 7 complete blowout.
Okay, so what I would do right now in anticipation of doing the blowout is hook up with, I've got a couple of banks that I could connect you with. Take out a couple of secured credit cards right now. So
okay.
You have lines of credit set up that you could use. Are you familiar with the secured credit card? What that is? Okay, so you give, for the listeners that don't know, you give the bank money, you pay a small fee, and you basically use the money, you just preload it, and after a certain period of time, they unsecure it. But during the bankruptcy, it's tough to get new credit.
Sure.
Because you just blew yourself out.
Right.
So you've got to set that up ahead of time.
Sure.
So what Paul's doing is the right thing, calling ahead of time and getting that set up. So the answer to your question is, Paul, there are lenders out there that will extend mortgages to individuals one day out of a Chapter 7, one day out of a foreclosure, one day out of a bankruptcy. You're going to be putting down a substantial amount of money, 30 to 40.
How much?
Some depends on your credit, and that's tough to answer because I don't know how severely damaged your credit's going to be.
Yeah.
That's why you want to strengthen it as much as you can now. So when you do, you know, when you do have this 7, You've got these secured credit cards.
Do those secure credit cards work in your favor?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
They report to the credit agencies as a trade line.
Okay.
And it strength. And what I would recommend to folks like Paul is every Friday, go and reload that. Pay it, like, reload. So okay. You know, put $1,000 down if you can afford it. Paul seems to have some money here. Some right. people don't right. have that much. You know, a lot of people have a tough time opening up a $300 sure. credit card. So whatever the number is, use it. And I call it the four T's: toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation. Right? It's not the you know, the 15's not the 50-inch TV. All right? So just use it right. for the basics.
Right.
You know, I put a half a tank of gas on the way down because I wanted to get down here. $25. Right? Okay. Or $30, whatever it is. Every Friday, make sure that you go online or stop at the bank and reload that. Okay. So I know it's different because with the prepaid credit card.
You essentially, what you're taking your cash money you have.
Correct.
And essentially paying down the debt.
Correct.
And putting that forward to pay down that debt on that secured card.
Correct. Because on the secured card, you're giving them $1,000 because yeah. you seem to have money. And then during the week, you're working it down $300, so you have a $700 balance. So on Friday, you go in and give them an extra $300 to reload it.
So
it
always
good.
Stays at right. It always stays at your $1,000.
Yeah, it okay. always stays gotcha. Fully loaded. It so it works opposite of a regular credit card.
Right.
If you had a regular credit card, I would tell you to do the same thing. You've got a $1,000 limit. You charge $300. Mm. You're at 30% capacity. Friday comes. Pay it down $300. You've got $1,000 worth of availability. That improves your credit score. On a secured credit card, it's just the opposite.
Gotcha. Right.
So on your credit, one day out of a seven, you're probably looking at 30 to 40% down. The rate's going to be today 6, 7%. But guess what? You've got three options, 40% down, 40% down, 40% down, you know, 7%, 7%, 7%. You really don't have a lot of options coming one day out of a seven.
Right.
But some people that have the resources, it doesn't matter because they still want to own a house. They still want to buy a house. It doesn't stop them from, in the future, a year or two down the road, to refinance into a better product
okay.
as they distance themselves from the economic event, in this case, Paul, the Chapter 7.
For the people who aren't in that position, though, who can't get it the day after, what...
It's a great question. So...
thank you for your time tonight.
No. These are great questions because bankruptcies are on the rise. So a Chapter 7 with a conforming loan amount, it's 4 years after a Chapter 7.
Okay.
FHA is 2 years after Chapter 7. Chapter 13, it's 1 year with an FHA loan, 2 years with a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan.
Okay.
So these are VA, 1 day out of a 13, you could get a VA loan. 2 years out of a Chapter 7, you could get a VA loan. Is there a mortgage involved, a foreclosure? That are you blown out of a house as well?
Yeah, there's a foreclosure that was from the 2008.
Oh, that's
never taken care of.
Okay,
and so that's the real speed bump.
Okay,
it's a foreclosure and it's a repo from a divorce.
Holy smokes.
From a car. So there's a lot of moving parts, but the reality is, you think if my credit score is not that bad and my debt is not that bad once I pull the credit, you think I'd be better off to do a 13?
I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. I'm just answering your question. So I would defer that to who's ever doing your bankruptcy papers and have that conversation with him or her. Yeah. I'm not stepping on that landmine. I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. I don't play one on TV. But I'm saying
you say you talked about a 13, you'd be able to recover quicker on the mortgage side.
But
13 is perceived to be one of these people that's like, hey, I want to make good on my debt to some percentage. A 7 is like, hey, sorry, Charlie, right? Well, I'm holding the sign up like the TV commercial, you know?
But again, you have to qualify for a 13 and you have to qualify for a 7. It's not like you just get to pick which one you want, right? It's not like chocolate or vanilla, you know? So, and don't forget, on a 13, you have a payback period as well. So you've got a payout where you've got to pay back the debt over 3-5 year period of time. So after it's paid off, then the clock starts. Again, I'm not trying to tell you how to get around it. I'm just answering your question.
Right.
We could get you a mortgage one day out of a 7, but you're going to put down a substantial amount of dough, and you better have some established credit. So if you want, I could connect you with some bankers I'm friends with. I don't make any money. It's just a relationship I have that will get you into a secured credit card that report to the credit agencies that become unsecured in the future after a certain period of time, which is the key, because there are some cards, if you go into it, they're secured forever.
Oh, okay.
I'm relatively young, and so therefore I need to rebuild my credit.
Yeah, done.
I'm not a young person, but I'm not an old person, so therefore I've got another 25 or 30 years to pay towards something that's going to be mine,
right,
versus just renting the rest of my life.
I understand. I got you, buddy. I'll help you.
All right. Well, good luck, Paul. You can get a hold of David.
Thank you.
David at 56David.com. All right. We got a text here from the 630. Is it a good idea to refinance to pay off my credit card?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's no question about it.
Well, here. And I have the 630's number, and I will contact this individual on the way home. The question is, yes, the caveats.
Yes.
Do you have enough equity in your home to take out to pay off the credit cards? Because I've got $60,000 with the credit card. Great. I owe $200,000 on a home that's worth $210,000. Okay. There's no room.
You got nothing, yeah.
You know, we can't take out any money in that scenario there.
Right.
So is it a good idea? Absolutely. You have to run the numbers to make sure that it makes sense. I just talked to a financial planner, referred me one of his clients, a veteran. She has a 70% service-connected disability, so she doesn't pay any real estate taxes here in Illinois. She's in a 30-year fixed loan at, I believe it was like 3.5 or 3.625. I ran the numbers with her to do a VA loan.
Okay.
Cash out VA loan to cover all her costs. The rate was going to go up like a half a point or 0.625 to cover her costs. Ran all the numbers. Even though she was saving $500 a month,
right,
paying off the debt, she didn't want to leave the security of her loan.
Really?
So all I could do is make the presentation.
Yeah.
Okay? And some people are hung up on the rate. And my whole thing with her was, it's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment.
Right.
Don't forget, you're eliminating all of this debt that's on the right side of the page. Yes, you've got a great loan on the left side of the page, but you have to look at the total number on the bottom. Yeah. We're wiping out all this debt, and your monthly savings is this. And that's where the individual, like my 75-year-old couple in the middle of Central Illinois, is making that decision.
Yeah.
But you have to have a couple of things. You need good enough credit to get a loan.
Okay.
You need to have enough equity in your home to pull out the equity to pay off the debt. And then you got to run the numbers to see if it makes sense.
All right. I have two questions. We're going to take a break. But yeah. I have two questions that we can ask. One is about what you were just talking about. Do you advise people to take all the equity out, or is there a percentage? So we can answer that when we come back. And also, one of the things that was a huge problem during the bust was people got into mortgages at a low rate, and then after a certain amount of time, they ballooned. And are those kind of mortgages still out there? How can people avoid those? Or if they have to get into those, when can they get out of them?
That's a great question.
So David Hochberg is here, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for David, you can get it in now. If you don't want to ask David now, then email him, david@56david.com. More after this, WGN.
We'll have an amazing story of how horses are helping combat veterans get whole again.
And Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland. Does it work? Richard Roper tells us.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Tomorrow afternoon on 720 WGN.
With dental implants from Eon Clinics, you'll smile without covering your mouth. Smile and eat your favorite foods again. Eon Dental Implants will help you get back what you've been missing with dental implants that look, feel, and function like real teeth. For a free consultation, call 844-365-SMILE or online at eonclinics.com today. That's eonclinics.com. Dental implants from Eon Clinics. Smile for life.
Nothing beats a fall drive, especially when driving a Porsche from the Porsche Exchange in Highland Park. Start this fall with exclusive savings on a new 2019 Macan. Lease for just $749 a month for 36 months. Test drive yours today at the Porsche Exchange. Expect the exceptional. Visit us at 4Porsche.com, the number 4Porsche.com. $53.89 due at sign. Excludes any title, tax, registration, license fees, insurance, maintenance, and dealer fees. No security deposit required. Expires 9/30.
The U.S. is in debt, and the IRS is getting more aggressive, using private agencies to track you down, seize your assets, and even start the process of taking away your passport. Dealing directly with the IRS can be a daunting experience. Oxford Tax Partners has the experience and the reputation at substantially lowering your IRS debt, or even having it forgiven. Don't wait. If you owe more than $10,000, take advantage of the Fresh Start Initiative. If you qualify, it will stop the IRS collection agencies from coming after you. Let the experts at Oxford Tax Partners get you protected. protected once and for all. Call Oxford Tax now at 800-575-1919. That's 800-575-1919. If you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS or haven't filed your taxes in past years, with one phone call, you may be on your way to having your taxes forgiven or substantially reduced. Find out more. Call the tax experts at Oxford Tax Partners for a free consultation now at 800-575-1919. 800-575-1919. That's 800-575-1919.
This is David Hochberg with an important interest rate alert. Mortgage rates have dropped to their lowest levels in over a year. If your rate starts with a 4, call Team Hochberg now, not tomorrow or next week. Call 855-56-DAVID now to see if we can help you, as we did Dan, refinance his 6% mortgage. We refinanced Dan into a 15-year fixed loan, saved him over $100 a month, eliminated over $60,000 in mortgage payments, and covered all his closing costs. Let's review. Dan called Team Hochberg. We refinanced him into a 15-year fixed loan, lowered his payments over $100, and saved him over $60,000 in mortgage payments, and covered all his closing costs. Seriously, what are you waiting for? Stop procrastinating. Call Team Hochberg now, 855-56-DAVID, or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of WGN listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homesite Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
All right, David Hochberg is here answering your mortgage questions, 312-981-7200. I asked you right before we left, we were talking about taking equity out of your home, and you had you told the story about the couple in Central Illinois. They took money out, but they still had a lot of equity left in their house. Is there a percentage that you suggest, all right, yeah, you should use some of this equity, but then leave some there? Or
listen, you can only take out on VA loans. It used to be 100%. You could used to be able to do a cash out refinance up to 100. They just reduced that down to 90. So if you're a veteran, you can only take out 90% of the value of your home. FHA used to enable you to go to 85% of the value of your home.
Oh, wow, okay.
Due to recent changes, you can only go to 80. Fannie Freddie has been 80 for a long time now, for at least 10 years. So the max you could take out right now is 80% with a Fannie Freddie, USDA, USDA, you can't do whatever it is. It's 80% for all Govy loans and 90% for VA loans, and Fannie Freddie loans. What I recommend? I recommend taking out what you need to take out to pay off your debt and put you and your family into a better position.
Okay.
I'm not sitting here saying drain your house of all the
equity.
Right,
and then just blow it somewhere. Right,
and then go to the boats and put it on red, black, or green, right? And then, you know, double down on the blackjack table or start throwing craps. I'm just saying that it's all about the monthly payment.
Yeah.
If you've got $1,000 coming out of your left pocket for your mortgage, and you've got $1,000 to $1,500 coming out of your right pocket to pay your debt, okay, and you can combine those two amounts, and instead of having two G's to $2,500 coming out of both your pants pockets, you could get it down to $1,500 to $1,700 while you're putting yourself and your family in a better position. Now, I can't stop you from going out there and reloading and blowing yourself up.
Right.
I can't stop you from doing that. Okay, but I can get you into a better position. Now, I don't know why you got into that position, and it's not my place to have a psychological analysis of why you're there. Some people had job challenges.
Right.
Some people had health challenges. Some people had to put in 5 G's for a new HVAC. Some people have to put in 20, 25 G's for a new roof.
Right.
Some people have to put in new site. Whatever the occurrence is, it's not my place to analyze. You're coming to me because you want honest advice.
Right.
If it makes sense, we'll present the numbers to you. We're not sitting there holding your, grabbing you by the back of the head and sign here. The grown men and women are making decisions financially. If we can help them out, put them in a better position, that's what it's all about.
All right, we got a quick question before we got to get out of here. Joan's been hanging on. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are well. What's your question for David?
Well, I've got a serious problem going. You guys were talking about the state of Illinois reducing their taxes and et cetera, et cetera. I'm calling from Michigan, and I'll tell you, Michigan is not much better than Illinois. Our taxes doubled this year.
Wow.
So my husband and I are both in our 80s, and we are both in poor health. I had two heart attacks in January. And we don't know which way to turn. There's a possibility we'll be living out of our car if we don't get some help.
All right, well,
with our finances.
How much do you owe on your house, Joan?
I think we still owe about $20,000. Our house is 45 years old.
How much is your house worth?
I couldn't tell you what it's worth.
Well, if
to me, it's worth nothing.
Well, I know. Well, don't be so negative. If you had to sell it today, what would you sell it for? $200,000, $300,000?
I don't think we'd get that much for it. I really don't, because being in their 80s, my husband isn't able to do the work that needs to be done to fix up the house.
Okay, how
We've
about this?
We've got a lot of outside work.
How about this? Is it a single-family house?
It is.
Okay. If we could get you into a loan like a reverse mortgage where we could eliminate the mortgage payment, you could defer the mortgage payment, and you could use the equity in your home to fix up the home to make it more comfortable, and you're still going to have a mortgage payment, but you're going to defer the mortgage payment and free up all that money, would that be something to make you, it would make you feel more comfortable and live without having to have that financial burden over your head, and you've got a little extra equity there to do the repairs? Would that be something that you and your husband would be interested in to take the pressure off you guys?
Anything to take the pressure off right now.
Well, there you go. All right. We're going to put you on hold. Michael's going to pick you up. You're all concerned because it's 12 o'clock here. It's 1 o'clock up there. And I will personally call you. Can I call you on the way home?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'll give you a call on the way home in about 5-10 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, Joan, hang on.
Help me out.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Bye-bye. I know you said you don't give people psychological advice, but at some point there's got to be some stories that people get in situations sometimes through no fault of their own. And those have to be very tough sometimes to hear.
Well, listen, I've been called the Dr. Phil of finance, okay, by one of my clients.
By Dr. Phil?
No, not Dr. Phil, no. But I'll give you a real quick example. 07-08 happened. Lady was had a ticketing at a major airline. She was making $100,000-$150,000 a year.
Okay.
Daughter severely handicapped, needs 24-hour care in a wheelchair.
Ugh.
Okay, 9/11 comes, loses her job. Husband's working, making $100,000 a year, not enough to take care of the daughter and everything.
Right.
You got to make a decision. She's going to take care of her daughter that's in a wheelchair that needs 24-hour care, or she's going to make the mortgage payment. Well, what's the call there?
Yeah,
you're going to take care of your kid, right? You're going to always take care of your family.
Yeah.
So the mortgage went into arrears. Long story short, her credit was blown up, put her into one of those horrible subprime loans back in the day, paid off all of her debt. Rebuilt her back. She's now 700 credit scores. Daughter's doing great.
Good.
We just refinanced her. I got an email from her saving her over $800.
Jeez.
Okay, home's appreciated. We had her in an FHA loan with PMI. Home's appreciated in Mount Prospect. I just had a run to her house the other night. We just closed her home, funded today. You know, we had to sign something with the, you know, some closing documents got missed, so I ran over to her house. Long story short, I got a thank you email from her. She's been with me for 15 years.
Nice.
Okay, so when everything went to heck in a handbasket, when the economy hit the skids, she lost her $150,000 job because what happened to the airline industry? It went right in the rocks.
Right.
Okay, so long story short, I've been with this couple for the past 15 years and just saved them $800, got them into a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, and they're looking to move into a bigger home to make it more comfortable for their daughter who's in her 20s now.
So even
that's
if,
the sort of stuff.
Even if you think things are hopeless, they may not be as hopeless as you think because you are not an expert in this thing. Get a hold of David. David at 56David.com. David Hochberg. If he can help you, he'll help you. If you can't, you tell people right up front, listen, there's nothing I can do. You got to do this, and then get back to me, and we'll figure
can
it out.
Can you do me one favor?
Sure.
Can you send my best to your beautiful wife?
I will.
Will you do that?
I will.
All right.
I'll give you, because I never give her my best, so I might as well give her somebody else's. I'll give her your best. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. David at 56David.com. All right, we'll be back. Then it's news time. It's WGN. Thanks, Vic. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Michael Heideman behind the controls. It's time to talk a little theater. We talked mortgages and money. Now we're going to talk about theater. And a wonderful, wonderful production is playing right now at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. It is the Timeline Theater production of Oslo, the 2017 Tony Award-winning play that tells the story of the back channel negotiations that led to the 1993 Oslo Peace Accord. When, if you remember the news footage and you saw a prime minister of Israel and the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization shaking hands at the White House, you might think there were a lot of big bureaucratic things happening that led to this, and there probably were, but the main thing that led to this were back-channel negotiations that were set up on an estate outside of Oslo, Norway. With me now on WGN is the director of the production, Nick Bowling, and one of the fine cast members, Jed Fader, who plays Avi in this production. Gentlemen, thanks for staying up late. I know the show got out just a little over an hour ago, so I appreciate you staying up with me.
Of course.
We lost Nick. We are going to get Nick back. But, Jed, I want to welcome you back. You are a Northwestern alum, so welcome back home.
Go Cats.
So it is.
Thank you.
You are on the flagship of the Northwestern Wildcats, so we are glad you are here. And you also, people may recognize you not only from your work around here, but you were in the first North American tour of Aladdin, which was also another wonderful show.
I was, yeah. I just did that for about a year.
And so now you are in Oslo, and I have to tell you, it would take us hours and hours to deconstruct the entire Middle East peace process and everything that's going on there. And I went into the show knowing the basics about what was going on. What struck me, not only from your performance, but the rest of the cast, was the humanity and the urgency that came across, and more importantly, the sense of humor and the laughs. I didn't expect that many laughs in the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nice thing about this show is we talk about a lot of really big ideas, right, with the politics of the area, with the tension and the conflict in the area, but the way we are looking at it is through a very personal level, which is sort of what these talks are about. They're about taking the big things and breaking them down to the small things, building personal trust, building
yes.
a personal relationship. So that lends us to a lot of humor, a lot of, you know, looking at people and their relationships. It's not just the big politics and the big ideas. It's also really looking at people.
Well, that's what struck me. It did take it down to that very personal level, because your character is negotiating for Israel, and you know, you're meeting with Palestinians, and it suddenly wasn't about these two governments. It was about these two men, and similarities come out and big differences come out, but it was a great character study along with a wonderful piece of history.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the real joy of getting to do a show like this too, is you get to really explore a big thing in history and a big thing that is still very current, but through the lens of, well, let me look at this one person and let me see how they saw it.
Now, your director has rejoined us. Nick, I'm sorry we lost you. Nick Bowling is the director of Oslo, which is playing through October 20th at the Broadway Playhouse at Watertower Place. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get your tickets. Nick, thanks for being here. Wonderful show that you put on. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, Oslo was a 2017 Tony winner for Best Play. It had been staged not only in New York but in London. With the Timeline Theater, and first of all, tell people what the mission of the Timeline Theater is, because you're the founding artistic director, so you know about that. How did you decide that Oslo was the performance that you guys needed to mount?
Well, I'll start with the happy to be here. Thank you for having us on. The mission of Timeline is to explore plays that explore history through time and that connect to today's social and political issues. So plays inspired by history. And so J.T. Rogers, who wrote the play, is a friend of ours, and we've done one of his other plays, a play called Blood and Gifts, a few years ago. And he immediately after, you know, writing this play, called P.J. Powers, who's our artistic director, and me, and said, hey, this play is a home run for Timeline's mission. And I don't know if there's ever a chance that you guys could ever get this play in Chicago, because, you know, we're kind of a middle-sized theater here in Chicago, and right. there's a lot of major companies that were very interested in this play as well. But a couple kind of magical things came together. One was the fact that we were able to do the show at the Broadway Playhouse, which is part of the Broadway in Chicago series, and connect with all of their subscribers. It's a 550-seat house, which is 5.5 times bigger than our house on Wellington. And the fact that we had this great connection with JT, those two things really helped make this happen for Timeline and allowed us to get this, you know, really amazing play and to get the Chicago premiere of it. The first time anybody in the city is seeing it, unless they were in New York or in London, which is really cool.
Now, that is very cool. And it's this is also Jed's debut with Timeline Theater, so that's very exciting as well.
Yep, it is.
When you're mounting a production that has been, you know, it had a great run on Broadway, and then it was in London, and now you're going to bring it here, obviously you want to stay true to the script, to the material, but how do you look at it so that it's similar to what's come before, but it's got its own Timeline Theater spin on it?
It's a great way to put it. I mean, the main thing is casting, and that's sort of number one. Immediately when you bring in a group of Chicago actors, and these are all Chicago actors, one of them now lives in New York, but he spent most of his life in Chicago. So it's all Chicago actors. And great. And that generally means, I'm a believer that Chicago actors are the best actors in the world or in the country for sure. But you know, that's a matter of choice. And of course, New York people believe the same.
Well, that's
them.
New York. We don't.
Yeah, exactly. You know, come on. But you know, the thing is that what it definitely means is that it's going to have a kind of a truth and a kind of a rugged Midwestern kind of quality to it. And what's exciting is that none of these characters are you know, Midwestern or
not at
sort
all.
Of gritty in any way. They are Norwegians, they are Israelis, and they're Palestinians. And so it's fun to kind of have that understanding of seeing that world through a Chicagoan's eyes. So I think that's pretty, makes it pretty special.
And the entire cast was wonderful. It was just from top to bottom, Jed and everybody else in there was terrific. I'm curious, Jed, as you, so you, we mentioned that you were in the tour of Aladdin, and now you're coming to, you come to Oslo, completely different kinds of productions, not only material, but scale and everything else. As an actor, is it a difficult transition, or is it just, well, listen, this material in Oslo is so specific, it's easy to get into this character. It's easy to become Yuri.
I mean, that is the most thrilling part of being an actor. It's sort of the one of the best parts of this business and this career is that, you know, you can do one thing at one time, and then the next thing down the line can just, you know, it's all in the same world. We all operate under the same umbrella of theater, but it just means so many different things. And, you know, those two shows have, you know, they ask very different things of the actors doing them, but it's like at its root, it's still just like exploring these different people and these different stories. And it's so fun to do something that is in such a different world, and then something else right away that is just on the sort of the flip side. It's part of the challenge, but it's part of like what keeps this job so fun all the time.
Did you know anything about the facts behind the play before you got cast and started doing the research to become your character?
Before, like, I even had heard of the play, I knew, you know, I feel like a lot of people know the bullet points about this story. A lot of people remember that, or the handshake, you know,
right.
with Clinton on the White House lawn. And a lot of people remember, and then people who know a little bit more about it may know about, like, the first and second intifadas in Israel, these uprisings and these violent times of extreme violence there. I remember, like, as a kid, like, hearing, like, now is a time when people can't visit Israel. Like, it's not a safe time for tourists. You know, like, we know about the bullet points.
Right.
It's so interesting to, like, then once doing all the research for this, sort of, it starts to, that skeleton starts to get filled in with all this tissue when you find out what was going on behind the scenes that really nobody knew about. And also, like, especially like when you see the show, we say, like, you hear all these bullet points of, like, this happened in the world, like, at this moment,
right,
this thing happened. And sort of to be like, oh, wow, well, I knew about that. But then, especially, like, somebody who just gets to watch this, I got to go through a similar thing researching it of, like, oh, wow, that's what was happening behind the scenes while these things were happening that everybody was aware about. A lot of the most interesting part about that is a lot of the things everyone was aware about were these extreme moments of contention. And what people were trying to do behind the scenes were these extreme moments of finding each other, reaching across the aisle and figuring each other out. So, yeah, I knew only some, and I learned so much more in preparation.
Well, Nick, I love the staging. And as Jed was saying, in the audience, you're given these bullet points, but the little video montages, a lot of different things, because I'm guessing, and I know you didn't write the show, you're just directing the production, but it's one of those subjects that it would be probably pretty easy to get in the weeds, because the Middle East, and it's mentioned in the show, you know, this has been going on forever, and people never think it's going to get solved, but you guys have made it, you've made the history lesson easily accessible and a lot of information and that you don't even realize you're absorbing as you watch the show, and you leave and go, oh, wow, I actually learned something tonight. This is unexpected.
Yeah. Jake, I'll give most of the credit for that to JT Rogers, who wrote the play. But he, you know, JT writes plays, and soon he's writing a movie of this, and he'll be writing some other television series and all sorts of things. What he's really great at is just what you said, which is disseminating a lot of big kind of global political information into kind of something that doesn't feel like A, like medicine, or B, boring. And he's able to put it into characters' mouths and into interesting situations. And he's able to get exposition, which is a word we use a lot in the theater, out without it seeming heavy-handed. He even has a narrator in this play. And usually a narrator is a very dangerous thing for a play to have, because the narrator feels like, now I'm here to tell you what's going on.
Right.
But this narrator, interestingly, is really the only woman involved in this whole story.
Yes.
And she is, in many ways, the least forceful and the least kind of driven character in the show in some ways, and yet it's that quality of hers that she's the listening character of the play. She's the one that's going to sit back and think before she speaks, whereas all the rest of the guys in the play are just the opposite. And that's who he's given the narration to, which is a really smart thing to do, because we end up trusting her from the beginning and really falling in love with her and depending on her to kind of just hold our hand just enough to take us from through these really kind of complicated waters, in a way.
And the audience falls in love with her, but also it seems as if many of the main characters fall in love with her as well.
Yeah, it's true. And that is all, you know, the fun thing, a lot of people have kind of said that JT's play is not all true. And of course it's not. JT, you know, he himself says, hey, I took my lesson from the greatest writer of all time, Shakespeare, and he didn't write plays that were all historically accurate.
Right.
But JT's play is, and a lot of it is incredibly accurate, actually, as we did all of our research, and including the fact that really all of the guys involved, they all came to fall in love with Mona Yule, who is the character in the play. And the other thing I wanted to say from the beginning of the conversation that I was just got out of when my phone got disconnected was to say that the idea of humor actually was a part of the conversation in the actual talks as well.
Oh, really?
Jokes and humor became an important part of it. And one of the guys who was an upgrade from the Israelis later on, I think it was Joel Singer, said at some point, he said, I knew that, like, one of the first things I had to do was find my way into the humor club that had come out of these conversations and these talks, because apparently Yair Hirschfeld and Ron Pundak and Ahmed Kurea and Asfor all of the guys that were involved had found these jokes and were kind of having a great time laughing all the time, and he knew he had to sort of find his way into that. So that's something JT wanted to pick up on as well, obviously.
Well, it was not lost. The laughs were big. I got to say, Jed, you did a wonderful job, because your character comes in after things have started, and he's... how do I put it diplomatically? He was kind of a jerk. But then he takes a 180-degree turn as the production goes on, and by the end you're like, this guy's not that bad.
That's what I'm going for. I appreciate it.
I don't want to spoil it, because you've got to go see Oslo. It's through October 20th at the Broadway Play. But he comes in and he... Just his look is like, oh, this guy's going to be trouble. And then he kind of is, and he's a fierce negotiator. But then, as with all the characters, his humanity really comes out, and you realize this guy's just doing what he thinks is best for his family and his country and everybody else. Yeah. And it was a nice turn, because it could have, I think in lesser hands, it could have been... The jerk part could have stayed, and the humanity could have been lost, but you blended it wonderfully.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. We actually had a post show talk back after the show tonight, and somebody asked about how accurate him coming in as a jerk is, or like why we think he comes in as a jerk. And you know, it's sort of like what Nick was just talking about these guys coming in and feeling like they need to be in the humor club or being, you know, he comes in and like all this. He doesn't know these talks are even happening, basically, right, until 2 weeks before he gets involved. They've been going on for almost a year. So he comes in and he's like, you guys have already formed this club. Did we all forget what we're trying to negotiate back home? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You guys like each other. Do you think everyone at home is going to like what you're doing? So he sort of comes, you know, they're all there. Yeah. It's what keeps this show really interesting. They all really care about the thing that they're trying to achieve. And they also all, you know, really care about, they care equally about the peace that they want, and about the implacable needs of the people that they're representing. So it's sort of that's a great little rock and a hard place to be in as a negotiator. But that's the humanity then that we have to try to navigate the whole time we're doing it.
Yeah, well, it comes across very well.
I was going to say that the writer told us that we did a FaceTime with him in the first week, and he told us, the meaner these guys are to each other, the better the play is. And the truth is, which is a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'll say, especially as Midwesterners, that's a hard thing for us to kind of wrap our brains around. But we learned that what he does in this play is sets everybody up as a jerk from the beginning. Almost everybody in the play at some point is set up as a real jerk. And
right.
Even Terje, the Norwegian guy, is, you realize, oh God, he's willing to, you know, he'll sell out anybody to make this thing happen. But then you also, he wants to push that as far as he can, and then wants to see how far he can push them, and yet you still care about them. And that's a really fascinating thing with play.
Well, and the thing you said about the meaner they are to each other, the better the play is. There's a scene in, maybe it's the second act, where everybody turns against Terje, and it's vicious. And even though you know... He probably deserves most of what he's getting. It was still kind of hard to watch. It's like, boy, the whole schoolyard turned on this one kid.
Yeah. Again, somewhat based in some truth, apparently. And the guys, they were very tough on Terje. Here he is. He's the guy in the middle. He's the guy that's, you know, and they all kind of knew that he was telling the other side what they wanted to hear sometimes, you know. So he was sort of selling his soul to make this thing happen, and that's a tough spot to be in, you know. That's the person who gets squeezed the most, obviously, and he does in this play. And he drove them crazy, I think, in some ways, and they didn't always trust him, of course, because he had to kind of bend the truth on both sides often to get people just to even come back to the table, you know.
Well, it was a wonderful, wonderful show. I can't recommend it enough. It is Oslo is running through October 20th at the Broadway Playhouse at the Water Tower Place. It's a Timeline Theaters production of Oslo. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get all the tickets. If you want to learn more, you can go to TimelineTheater.com. And you can follow Jed Fader, who is wonderful as Yuri Savar. You can follow him on Twitter at Jed_ So, and you can follow his acting. You can people can follow you because you are a musician as well. You are multifaceted and a Wildcats. Are you going to get a chance to go to a game while you're in town?
You know, it's a good question because we got Saturday shows. But, you know, the ones I don't go to, I'll listen to on WGN. So.
Oh, look at that. That is a beautiful plug. That? We're going to pull that out, Jed. I appreciate it. Well, Nick Bowling, who's directed Oslo, and Jed Fader, who is one of the wonderful cast. Thank you both for staying up late. I do appreciate it very much. It's a wonderful show. Break a leg. Continued success throughout the rest of the run.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
So much.
Take care, guys. Thanks very much. Again, you can go to BroadwayInChicago.com, and you can get your tickets to go see Oslo. It runs through October 20th. It is a wonderful, wonderful show. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, we've got to do this. Then it's news time, WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN, here until 1 o'clock, then Nick DiGilio takes over. Michael Heidemann behind the controls. All right, we're getting a lot of complaints, inquiries, people saying, what's going on with the stream? We want to listen to Brian on the stream. Something's wrong with the stream. It didn't get turned over. So if you're trying to listen on the stream, and just come listen on the radio. That's probably a good place to listen. You can just, or go to the app. I don't know how you can listen. All this high-tech tomfoolery scares me. Just means that the robots are going to take over pretty soon. I saw Terminator. I know that everything's going to become self-aware, and one of these days, we're just going to be slaves to the machine. It starts now. Everything can listen to you. That's why I don't have... listen, I know we have... I know a lot of people have Alexa, and they say, hey, Alexa, play WGN Radio, and I'm glad you can do that. I don't trust any of those things in my house. I don't want a smart refrigerator. I don't want a, anything eavesdropping on me. I don't need one of those personal assistants. And I know it sounds, I sound like a cranky old Luddite. I have a lot of technology in my house. I love technology. I don't want technology that can spy on me. I don't want it listening to me because not that I'm plotting anything evil, not that I'm doing anything untoward in the house that I would want the machine to hear. I just don't. Mark this because this is when I go full conspiracy theory.
Let's hear it.
I just think we're under enough surveillance. I don't need to give anyone, whether it's the government or Google or Apple, I don't need to give anyone else access to me. You know, they know where I drive because of my iPass. They can track me on my iPhone. They're listening to the sound of my voice now, even though I'm really in a bunker somewhere. You have no idea where I'm broadcasting from. But if things are you're having trouble with the stream, just listen to WGN on your AM dial.
And I have an update, actually.
You do?
Everything is fixed and ready to go. Turn on that stream.
So listen to the stream, folks. That's what I'm talking about. You just listen wherever you want. That's the beauty of it. I'm everywhere. I'm haunting your dreams. If you're listening in bed and you're listening to the stream and maybe we're getting a nice Bill and Wendy repeat, and now all of a sudden I've popped on and it's like Freddy Krueger has entered your bed. Only with better manicure. I don't, and better skin, quite frankly. I have the skin of a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm 87.
It's definitely better than Freddy's, you can see that.
Well, sure. But see, I don't take that as a true compliment, because whose skin isn't better than Freddy's? You know? I don't care if you're the teenager who looks in the mirror and goes, oh my God, it's a train wreck. It's still better than Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt about it. No
oh,
doubt.
No, I'm a pizza face.
So we got, I feel so, so bad for people who had to go through that. Cause I don't know if it's genetics,
mm-hmm.
But I've always had pretty good skin. Now, pimple here or there, but friends of mine, it's a hard life if you have that, you know?
Oh yeah.
Did you were you?
Yeah, that was me.
Really?
It was like me and some of my family members. It's just, you know, it just comes down to it, it's just genetics.
Yeah,
like
it
you
is
said,
just
because,
genetics.
Because I remember the doctor would say, maybe you should stop drinking Coca-Cola.
Oh,
nothing fixed.
Yeah, all, like, those, all those,
all those
don't
medicines.
Eat chocolate. You don't want to have chocolate because yep. that'll give you pimples. Really? I ate so much chocolate, I was actually elected mayor of Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I never had a pimple. You know, mm-hmm. more than like one. And be, oh, how shocking. How, mm-hmm. you know, one pimple threw me into a tizzy. But, you know, like I said, people I knew who were going through it, and that's a because kids are not nice.
No, they
aren't. Teenagers are horrible, mm-hmm. and all teenagers are going through, you know, trying to figure out who they are, and their self-esteem problems and identity problems. And then if that's the that's the face you put forward, it's hard. So
yeah, well, an entire industry. I mean, it was built around Neutrogena, and remember all those commercials that were going on in the early 2000s.
Yes. Early 2000s. They've been on since TV. I think those were some of the first commercials. Do you have a pimple like this? You want to put this cream out there? Oh, okay.
Right. Well, what's your secret, Brian?
Just good living, Michael.
Yes,
good living,
healthy living. No swears.
No. Oh, a lot of swears. A lot of swears, a lot of booze, a mm-hmm. lot of greasy food. It all works. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what it was. It is genetics, mm-hmm. you know. So
I remember trying.
It's the one good thing I got from genetics. I could make now on the. I could go on the other list, and man, oh man, we could go on and on. But you know, good skin is. That might be it.
Yeah, everyone's got their flaws. I remember like growing up and putting all those the cream, and I had like some medication stuff.
Oh, you know,
nothing
man.
Works because now I'm seeing like if it's allergy season, it'll just come back.
Oh, really?
It's always like touching like my nose and yeah. It's
oh
just,
man,
it's craziness.
Yeah, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough. Well, how did we get on that?
I have no idea.
I don't either. One minute I was talking, oh, the stream and Bill and Wendy and oh me, yeah, Freddy Krueger. All right, wow, it's. It's hard when you have to backtrack the show and kind of, you know, take it back to, all right, how did we end up here? Because we were going to talk about something else. And mm-hmm. then, this is something I've never understood. And I know I'm not trying to offend. Explain it to me. People who have urban chickens, not Urban Meyer, the football coach, but, you know, people who live in cities or a suburb and they have chickens out back. And it's not, I understand poultry farmers, or if you live out in the country, but it's a thing I just never understood. And they go, well, we get eggs. But while I am not as qualified as Orion or Max Armstrong to mention, one chicken can't give a lot of eggs. I think they only give like one a day. So if you have a family, one person gets an egg. Everybody mm-hmm. else, watch Bobby eat the egg today. It's my day for the egg. Nope. Today's Bobby's day.
No,
you know,
but it's my day.
Wednesday's Bobby's day for the egg.
Come on,
Susie
Mom.
Gets it on Thursday.
Jeez.
The rest of us, we're going out to breakfast. Because you know what they have over at Denny's? A ton of eggs. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know where they get them, but they have a lot.
This is becoming a serious problem, though, in Chicago and elsewhere, though. It's crazy.
I know. And that's what that's why I found this unbelievable, because there was going to be a limit in Cook County on roosters. Because, yes.
A limit on roosters.
And, all right, I'm going to say this again. Who would have thought that's even something that was needed?
How many do you need? Right?
Well, you don't need any, mm-hmm. quite frankly. Because there's a little something. If you want to get up at the crack of dawn, just set the alarm on your phone. You don't need a rooster. Listen, I have enough trouble with the dogs who live next door to me who are barking nonstop. I don't need roosters crowing at God only knows what time roosters crow.
Mm-hmm.
But There was a ruling, a proposed ban on roosters in unincorporated parts of the county. That's the only parts of the county that should have roosters, is unincorporated. They should just build rooster hotels out in unincorporated Grundy County or Cook County or whatever unincorporated parts of the county and let them have it. But the County Board Zoning and Building Committee walked back the proposal. So now you can have as many roosters as you want.
What?
It drops only in unincorporated parts of the city. Or the county. It dropped the proposed prohibition on roosters. It doesn't limit the number of fowl residents can have on their property and clarifies the rules for owning a horse. So And if you were wondering, Michael, how many horses can I own? You can have one horse per acre. That's what you can have.
Oh,
who's,
man.
Who's got all these roosters and chickens running around?
This is crazy. Well, exactly, because I know that there's one alderman, is it Alderman Lopez, who is really trying to shut that down from the 15th Ward to limit the amount of numbers of animals you can have. Because you can have goats, chickens, roosters, pigs, horses now?
I understand that certain cultures are, you know, they'll have a goat and they'll raise that goat and then they'll eat it, and that's fine. I'm listen, I eat meat, but I don't raise it in my backyard.
Mm-mm.
I the only meat that's in my backyard are my two dogs. One, they're too dumb to eat, and two, they're probably all fatty from all the treats they enjoy. So they're not on my must have dinner list.
Yeah, and if you are raising that goat, after what point does it become a part of the family? Does it have a name, and or do you need to like just shun it every day and then fatten it up and then eat it?
Oh,
just,
man.
Like, go to the back, goat.
If you have to spend your life worrying about shunning a goat.
Honey, did you shun the goat today?
No, you pet the goat. I saw you pet. It's not a pet. That's Christmas dinner. Oh, why do we have the goat if we have to shun it? Because you know the goat's just looking in your sliding glass door into the kitchen while you guys are going, I don't know if that's the sound goats make. Right now, farmers are like, you idiot. That's a sheep bleeding. That is not a goat. But
yeah, it's getting to become a serious problem. And if you are raising these animals for food, why are you living in Chicago, or why are you living in a big city,
right,
where you have no backyard?
And there's grocery stores everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you are from a culture that likes this, there's a grocery store for every culture,
mm-hmm.
as there should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's neighborhood you can go. If you're like, well, I'm from this culture, and we like to eat this, so I have to raise it. No, you could probably, you know, Google it, and within 5 miles of where you're at, you go, oh, I could just go, and they've taken care of it. I didn't have to shun my dinner for 6 months before I ate it. I was actually able to just walk into the store and go, yeah, this looks fantastic. Throw it on the grill, and then here we go. This all came about, and I rarely do I compliment politicians, because
mm-hmm.
I think all of them, you know, we got issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say that Commissioner Peter Silvestri of the County Board Zoning and Building Committee, he's a Republican from Elmwood Park. He's the chair of the Zoning Committee. And he said, listen, this is nuts. We're not going to even vote on this. There were only three complaints about roosters. Why regulate something that's not a problem? Thank you. Thank you. That's because we try to regulate everything. Well, so three people complained about roosters, and now we were going to have a big law. No, now you can have, if you're in unincorporated Cook County, feel free, rooster it up. Now, I don't know if you have to shun a rooster. You don't eat roosters, do you?
I don't think you eat a rooster. I don't think you eat a rooster.
I think
rooster.
The rooster is just around to be, you know, strutting around and taking care of the chickens.
Yeah,
and creating more eggs.
I've never seen a rooster hamburger. I've never seen a rooster on a menu before.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a rooster on a menu.
No, I've been to some chicken places that use the rooster as the mascot, but
mm-hmm.
that's because a rooster is a more telegenic animal than a chicken.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the big plumage. It depends on what kind of rooster, of course. I'm not an ornithologist, but, you know, it just... You use the bantam rooster. That seems to be the one that is the logo-esque kind of rooster.
You know that there is an organization that is called the Chicago Roo Crew that
really?
Supports all rooster-related issues. And
is that right?
Yeah. So shout out Roo Crew.
Roo Crew, I wish we'd had some time to get you on. I didn't even know you existed. But next time we're on, Rooster Talk happens at 12:30 every Wednesday night here on WGN, or Thursday morning, however you want to look at it. Yeah, Rooster Talk.
You know what I want to know?
What do you want to know, Mike?
For all the
What can I help you with today?
Well, for all these problems that are going on with all these animals in the back, what was the limit on alligators? Because that seems to be a big problem here
in
Chicago,
what's going
too.
On? Stop with these alligators. You know, the first one that Gator Rob caught. Did you get a chance to meet Gator Rob?
You know, I met him at the Green Tie
That's
Ball.
That's where I met him as well.
And he looked great. He got the shaved up beard. I mean, talk about a guy who fell into the best possible scenario for a job ever.
Yes, and he scored himself a beautiful young lady. He was he looked good. Smaller, small guy.
He's a very skinny man.
You know why? I think because if you're too big and lumbersome, gators will catch you. He seems wiry. Seems like he'd be able to move around. But yeah, now we're getting these little gators that are being found. This is all a ruse. These are people just planting gators. We already had the big gator. That was the phenomenon. You can't recreate it. That's it. So no more gators.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that on the zoning board.
Yeah,
can't have gators. I think there are laws against exotic pets. Can you explain exactly why you need roosters if you have chickens? Absolutely not. I have no idea. I don't. But I know people like them. Michael, we'll take a quick break. Let's Google and see why we need roosters if we have chickens.
You got it.
Because, listen, if people, inquiring minds want to know, as the commercial used to say for the National Enquirer, and we're here to give you just that kind of important, scintillating information on WGN.